News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, let me tell you about my friends at Otter Creek Farm. I talk about them a lot because there's so much to talk about. I mean, that place is incredible. And when I'm up here giving you a personal endorsement, it's because I go out there. Charlene and I both go out there. I've gone shooting out there. We've stayed overnight out there. We've eaten out there. Beautiful meals. They have a culinary staff that'll blow your mind. The facilities are beautiful. You want to do a corporate retreat? You want to do your wedding out there? You want to go hunt a pheasant and quail? I mean, this is right here in North Alabama. Check them out. Their website is OtterCreekFarmstead.com. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. Featured in Garden and Gun magazine. Donald Trump Jr. came and stayed there overnight for a hunt. I'm just telling you, it's that good. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. You're going to love what you see, and you're going to want to go there. All right, listen, I'm going to switch gears on you. Hey, Copper, I think you're ready here, but go ahead and get clip three ready, and you let me know when you're there. But here's the deal. The Supreme Court of the United States has taken up a Second Amendment issue, unlike any other we've had in decades. And this case went up for arguments before the Supreme Court of the United States like just this week. And this story, I was going to do it yesterday, but we had breaking news yesterday about the fact that, the bills before the legislature were coming up, and we had the OSHA regulations that came out. So it changed my themology for the day. But the triple dipper for the day, I'm on number two right now, that the Supreme Court of the United States is considering your gun rights. All right? Here's the deal. A story from the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal reports the Supreme Court's conservative majority voiced concerns about a New York state law that limits the carrying of concealed weapons in a case that could lead to the largest expansion of Second Amendment rights in more than a decade. You hearing that? What we're looking at here is New York has had laws in place for 108 years that limit who's allowed to have a firearm outside of their home. And so here's another story I'm looking at. I believe this one came from Red State. So Red State is reporting this. The case comes from New York. It's called New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. And so basically, like I just said a moment ago, 108 years, the state of New York has severely curtailed the ability, it says in the Red State article, of ordinary citizens to carry concealed weapons outside their homes. So New York is one of those, they call them may issue states. In other words, like when you go down to get your concealed carry permit here in Alabama, we're a shall issue state. If you apply for it, unless you are a felon or something like that, it shall be issued to you. New York, on the other hand, is a may issue state, meaning they'll decide whether they want to give it to you or not. Doesn't have, a lot of detail about what may means. May can be anything that the person who's signing the permit wants it to mean. So may, shall, they make a big difference in the law. Let me do this. I'm going to step aside. Copper, you got clip three? You good to go? All right, let's do this. Go ahead and play clip three for me. That does a better explanation maybe than I can of the case before the Supreme Court. Go ahead.
Supreme Court justices are considering arguments tonight in a lawsuit challenging New York State's restrictions on carrying concealed handguns in public. The justices' final decision has the potential to change the landscape for gun owners across the country. It is a hot-button issue the Supreme Court hasn't tackled in more than a decade, the Second Amendment and gun control. Today's challenge centered on a New York permitting law that limits who can legally carry a gun outside their home. The plaintiffs argue the right to self-defense should be enough, not the heightened showing that New York requires. Chief Justice Roberts pressed New York Solicitor General Barbara Underwood on that point.
If the purpose of the Second Amendment is to allow people to protect themselves, that's implicated when you're in a high crime area. It's not implicated when you're out in the woods. How many muggings take place in the forest?
Much of the arguments wound up focused on the issue of population density and whether the right to carry a legally owned firearm outside the home should be based in part on where the right would be exercised. Justice Kagan wondered where plaintiffs would be willing to draw the line.
A ballpark. There are 50,000 people in one place. They're all on top of each other. We don't want guns there. The city or the state couldn't do that.
Well, Justice Alito asked why law-abiding New Yorkers should be at a disadvantage.
All these people with illegal guns, they're on the subway. They're walking around the streets. But the ordinary, hardworking, law-abiding people I mentioned, no, they can't be armed.
Several of the justices seem to be leaning in favor of reining in New York's current permitting process, though Justice Breyer noted how tricky it may be for the court to find the right balance.
What are we supposed to say, in your opinion, that is going to be clear enough that we will not produce a kind of gun-related chaos?
Well,
so here's the bottom line. What you heard there were the actual justices of the Supreme Court who were providing commentary, and when people sit there and listen to the Supreme Court arguments, they're taking notes and they're parsing their words. What did that mean? Why would he ask that question? How could it be? Did he imply this? What was he saying? Is his intent known? Because what's happening is sometimes the questions are there literally to resolve a question. Other times they're to put the attorney, the solicitor, on the spot and to see if they can handle the argument. I mean, as an attorney, I've argued briefs in court many times, and going to the circuit court level can be intimidating enough. If the judge wants to ask you a hard question, you better be ready. If you've got a citation to the law, you better know it. And in this case, you're talking about supposedly the most adequate minds in the law in the nation. They are the Supreme Court of the United States. There's only 9 of them. 9 people have that job. And if they ask you a question, you'd better be ready. And so to stand before the Supreme Court of the United States and provide arguments and have them ask questions, you can just imagine that the questions can be parsed out to mean something in themselves. Well, we're seeing comments and questions being given or elicited in the course of these arguments about this gun rights case that seem to imply that the now conservative majority on the court, even Chief Justice Roberts, who has shocked us many times by not being near as conservative as we had hoped, seem to imply that a ruling could be coming in this case that would do away with the restrictions placed upon gun owners in New York. But keep this in mind. This is the Supreme Court of the United States. The New York law at the center of this case is the same as in several other states like California, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey. And there's also a number of cities that have restrictions, like Chicago. Are we going to see a ruling that extends beyond the borders of New York, something that says, hey, Second Amendment rights are Second Amendment rights, and we cannot say that this is something that we have the right to take away? In fact, Chief Justice John Roberts pointed out in those same arguments that I was just talking about, it seems to be that he's on our side here, he pointed out that constitutional rights do not have to be justified. He said, quote, the Constitution gives you that right, and if someone's going to take it away from you, they have to justify it. Well, I agree completely. When I was in the state legislature, we had to do a number of things. I was concerned because I was beginning to see what I would call a little bit more subjectivity, if you will, in some jurisdictions. We tightened up Alabama's ability to be an open carry state, first of all. We are still a permitting state for concealed carry. But then there were also things that I was seeing in other jurisdictions. I had a bill once before. We added language to the Alabama law that resisted the ability for additional restrictions to be put on. I saw a case out of, I think it was Maine, where a sheriff put in place that if you wanted to have a concealed carry permit, you had to write a paper, literally like an essay, to justify your experiences. Well, what happens if you're illiterate? So illiterate have their constitutional rights infringed upon because they can't write out the justification the sheriff wanted? I saw other places where they were trying to provide burdensome taxation. It was almost like a poll tax. Back in the days, they used to have a thing called a poll tax, where if you wanted to vote, you had to pay a tax. Well, what that did was it burdened the poor, and they were unable to vote. The same is true when you tax things or put permit fees in place that are so onerous that someone can't pay them, and suddenly the poor people aren't able to get permits. So what we're seeing here is the law that I helped with was literally designed to prevent those overreaching, subjective regulatory type burdens that infringe upon your Second Amendment rights. Well, the Supreme Court of the United States, they took it up this week, and they took it up hard. And they literally seem to be saying by their arguments that New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin may become a landmark case that will push back on encroachments on your Second Amendment rights all over the nation. I mean, even to the extent, we don't know yet, I mean, if you have a concealed carry permit like I do, look at the back of it. Mine tells me the other states that have reciprocity, the ones who allow my concealed carry permit to be okay. That means there's other states that don't recognize it. Will this case come out and say, hey, if you've got a concealed carry permit from Alabama, you're allowed to concealed carry in New York City? Will this case come out and say that New York City can no longer decide that they determine whether or not there's proper cause? Will they become a shall-issue state? Will all states become shall-issue states? Or for that matter, will there be something broader than we could ever expect where they will look at it and say, constitutional carry, meaning you can't have a permit at all? I don't know. We'll see. Listen, we're going to take a short break. When we get back from this, I'm going to tell you, your state legislature is already considering other bills that are Second Amendment related. They're already being dropped in for the regular session, which begins in January. I'll give you a quick rundown on some of those. And then we got some breaking news. It looks like Pelosi did not get her spending bill votes. Embarrassed once again. Interesting how things are working in D.C. I'll tell you more about that. Top of the hour, a friend of mine, Cameron Smith, who knows how things work up on Capitol Hill, will be here to sort of break down the spending crisis. Spending crisis. How about the vote crisis for Democrats? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, if you have not heard, we've got a new team member that I've been talking about for the last week or so, National Christian Foundation. You hear their recorded ads, but let me just tell you from a personal standpoint, National Christian Foundation is how Charlene and I do our charitable giving now. And it works great. So listen, here's the deal. You can put all your money in one place and then tell them where to send it. Now that you think, why would I do that? Well, first of all, you may not know yet where you want to send it. Let's say you come into some money because you sold your house or, you know, you sold your business or had a windfall somehow. And so in order to gain that immediate tax deduction and shelter some of that from taxes, you could talk to the lawyers they have on staff at National Christian Foundation, and they will help guide you into how much you should set aside to avoid capital gains and that kind of thing. And then put it in National Christian Foundation, which, by the way, is a 501c3 itself, so you immediately get the charitable contribution deduction. And then, at the same time, they're managing it like a portfolio. Now, you can do this monthly, like we do with our tithes and our charitable giving. We put it there, and then when we're ready, because they're managing it, it's growing interest or it's being invested properly, like any other portfolio, we just go online and go and send the check here, send the check here, send the check here. And they do. What's interesting about this, though, is because I gave it to NCF to do for me, they managed it, they grew it, and at the end of the year, I get one document to provide for my taxes. Just one. I don't have to have multiple checks that I wrote because they write the checks for you, and I don't have to have multiple documents that I provide to the IRS for my taxes. I have one. It comes from National Christian Foundation. Anyway, check them out. They are very cool, run with godly principles, great people. I was with the founder last night of the Alabama office for National Christian Foundation. So check them out at ncfgiving.com/Alabama. ncfgiving.com/Alabama. All right, listen, I want to tell you about some more Second Amendment stuff. So I'm really interested to see how long it's going to take to get the opinion. I would imagine somewhere within the next 90 days, we're likely to see an opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States on the case that I told you about a moment ago, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin. It could have a major impact upon the curtailing of Second Amendment rights by, you know, governmental entities all over. Sometimes cities, sometimes counties, sometimes states. All said and done, this could be a big case. But there's other things happening. Right now, in your legislature here in Alabama, story by Erica Thomas at 1819 News caught my attention. Erica wrote this story as the managing editor at 1819 just a couple days ago. It's titled, Legislature Likely to Consider Changes to Gun Permits in Alabama. law enforcement is pushing back. So here's the deal. Several Alabama lawmakers have already pre-filed bills. That means they know the session's coming. They got some of their bills ready. They drop them in ahead of time, trying to get them in the queue. That's why these are called already Senate Bill 1, Senate Bill 2, and Senate Bill 8. In other words, they've already been pre-filed, and they're ready so that when they go into session in January, they can try to call them up. All right? These are constitutional carry bills, most of them. SB 1 seeks to remove the current restraints that prohibit the carrying of concealed weapons on like one's person or in their vehicle. It's a permitless carry, basically. You can have a concealed weapon without having to have a permit to have a concealed weapon. Senate Bills 2 and Senate Bills 8 are the ones that are seeking to create what's called the Alabama Second Amendment Preservation Act. And what that would say is that it prohibits states from enforcing federal restrictions on firearms. So we have this thing called the National Firearms Act. It's a national law, 1934, I believe it was. The National Firearms Act went into effect, and it's the one that requires you to go through, you know, ATF applications and licensure and get those stamps in order to have, you know, short barrel weapons, automatic fire weapons, suppressors. And so all those things are governed by the National Firearms Act. That's why some people do a gun trust, which as an attorney, I've done gun trusts for people. So the National Firearms Act, they're trying to curtail any restrictions by that. Well, that's interesting. I'm not sure that's going to be the more uphill climb of all of these. I don't know that you're going to get anywhere, fellas, with that one, although it sounds good. But I do think right now the idea of permitless carry is gaining more strength, especially in conjunction with the New York State v. Bruin. All right, so that is underway right now, and those bills are already pre-filed. We'll wait and see how they go. The law enforcement side, though, is always opposed to these. It's kind of interesting. I mean, law enforcement guys, to me, are a lot like military guys. They're usually very Second Amendment friendly. They're usually very pro Second Amendment. They're trained in weapons themselves. Most of them, because they're trained in weapons, then also have somewhat of an affinity for firearms that carries into their personal lives, and they either hunt or they, you know, sport shooting or just collecting weapons. I see that all the time. But here's the deal. Permits mean money. When you apply for a permit, you know, you may pay $20 to get your concealed carry permit. Well, what's happening is that's a much-needed source of revenue for some county sheriff's offices. They use them for all kinds of things. So Jefferson County Sheriff Mark Pettway, he also said that he hopes those bills that are being considered right now will not be passed in 2022. He goes on to say that they say it's not about money, but he does say at one point in the article, I believe it's him or one of the other sheriffs, could be one of the others, that says they do use those funds. They use them for things like, you know, buying equipment for the deputies. They use them for things like helping fund training, firearms training, that kind of thing. So we'll see. Sheriff's Association always, you know, gets involved when there's a firearms bill in the Alabama State Senate or House. We'll see how that plays out. Right now, I think the big one to watch, though, is Supreme Court of the United States. All right, folks, we get back. We're going to be with a friend of mine, Cameron Smith. He's going to give us an expert view of what's happening up in D.C. right now, because breaking news as of 20 minutes ago, Pelosi does not have the votes yet. She does not have the votes to spend trillions of dollars. Biden can't get a thing done right now, and I'm glad of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.